trying to clear my throat. Tonight, I want to notice the doctrine of the effectual calling, the calling of God upon his people. Aren't you thankful for that? We understand the doctrine of depravity. By the way, total depravity. We understand that by nature, man would never seek to please God. And I'm so thankful that God in his mercy calls his people by his grace, sending his spirit in our heart. And to kind of frame our thoughts tonight, I want to use 1 Peter. Now, I may refer to a couple of other scriptures first, but I want to use 1 Peter because four or five times in the book of 1 Peter, he mentions how that we've been called to something. And the direction that I want to go with the effectual calling tonight is we're called to do what? You know, God doesn't just call us and that's the end of it. There's a reason, there's a purpose, there is a life that needs to be lived after he has called us by his grace. You know, in John chapter 5, we have the record of Jesus saying, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." That's the life-giving voice of the Son of God. That's what's necessary for one to be born again. That's the effectual calling of God. And when he speaks about it, he says, "The hour is coming and now is when the dead." He clearly tells us that before this calling, we are dead in trespasses and sins. And I really like what Elder Jeff Winfrey, how he puts that. You know, he quite often you'll hear him say, "The dead don't do." Life precedes action. I wish our Armenian brethren could see that. You know, with a proper understanding of eternal salvation and time salvation, we'd have a whole lot more fellowship with these folks that thinks that the gospel can give life. Until we have heard that life-giving voice of the Son of God, we don't have the spiritual faculties. We don't have the hearing ear, the seeing eye, and we can't taste that God is gracious. We don't have those spiritual faculties until he has called us at that time that he sovereignly chooses to call us from a death in sins to life in Christ. So he said, "The hour is coming now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now that's regeneration. A couple of verses later, he talks about calling once again. He says, "The hour is coming. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice," that same voice. And it's the only voice that can do this. "So hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall come forth." And he speaks of both the elect and the non-elect there, coming forth. The blessing that will be enjoyed by those of his people. You know, we could go to other places and talking about how that Matthew 25, he talks about, you know, he shall divide his sheep from the goats. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he speaks about what's going to happen for the elect when he comes again. He doesn't mention in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he doesn't mention the non-elect, but he certainly does speak of the glory of what the elect family of God will enjoy when Jesus comes again. Now you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and you'll find out what happens with the non-elect. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is going to be punished with everlasting destruction for the glory of his presence. There's more to it, but I'll stop right there. So, the life-giving voice of the Son of God calling us from death and sins. Ever since man sinned and died, you know, Adam and Eve didn't fall over dead as if they had eaten a poisoned apple, but they surely did die, didn't they? They were separated from God. And the condition to which they were in was something that passed to all their posterity. Remember Romans 5:12? Wherefore is by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death hath passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. All of Adam's posterity was affected. And they've all died, all come into this world. Of course, we have an occasion, like John the Baptist, where the Lord quickened him in his mother's womb. But we're all conceived in sin. Know what David said? In sin, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. He wasn't speaking of that as a sinful act that his mother committed. He's talking about his condition. His mother was a sinner, and so he was a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that, when we understand God has to speak through the voice of the Son of God, that voice has to come to us to quicken us and raise us from a death in sins to a life in Christ. That's the calling that Paul was telling Timothy about in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. It was God's purpose all along to do just that. And when it pleases God, that child hears the life-giving voice of the Son of God. So our calling comes from God through the voice of the Son of God. It's effectual. You're not going to reject that. Now, the gospel can be rejected, but that life-giving voice of the Son of God isn't. And it's sure. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It's sure. But now, Peter, if we would go into 2 Peter, he talks about make your calling and election sure. But he's not speaking about the effectual calling there. There's nothing faulty. There's nothing short in what God does for us. When that life-giving voice comes, we are quickened. We are regenerated. But there's a response that we need to make to that calling. There's a life that we need to live that's according to this word. And so he calls us for a purpose. And Peter speaks of our calling, and most of it is in the practical sense. God does the calling as far as the sinner is concerned, but bless your hearts, there's ways and there's things that the scriptures speak, and we could go to other places, but I just, this tonight, my mind is settled on 1 Peter. And he mentions our calling several times. And so in these practical aspects of this calling, I want to notice what Peter has to say about it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and if I'm going to get all of these, I'm just going to have to deal. He's talking about, let's begin in verse 14. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, you know, before you were called by the grace of God, before God spoke to you, all right, not like the former lusts in our ignorance of God, but as he which hath called you is holy. Is God holy? You might say, oh, preacher, that's a foolish question. Well, I want you to think about it. Is God holy? Yes. God is holy. In every aspect, all of the attributes of God are holy attributes. He's all powerful, but it's holy power. He's loving, and it's a holy love. Even his wrath is holy wrath. Because God is holy, holy, holy. Everything about God is holy and right and just and good. And so when we think about it, the admonition is, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God calls upon us to hear his word and obey his commands. And Jesus taught us, if any man will come after me, which means if any man will be like me, he gives them some requirements there, doesn't he? The greatest accomplishments we can make in this life is to be more like Jesus. What a blessing it is to us personally. What a blessing it is to our family. What a blessing it is to our community. What glory it brings to God for us to be more like Jesus. And so the scripture says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And every day, as we read his word, as we study and meditate and ask the Lord for understanding of how we can apply his word to our lives so that that light that has come into us can be reflected out into the world, as we think about those things and study his word and meditate upon how to apply it, may our light continue to shine brighter and brighter as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord. That's what he's called us to be more like him. And in every respect, the Lord Jesus Christ is just like God. He is God. He's perfect. And so we see when he calls upon us to be ye holy, for I am holy. As he calls upon us to be like him, that helps us to understand why Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, because we're not holy. Oh, there's so much about me. I just stand so many times in awe that God would have mercy upon somebody like me. That he would bless me to understand what he's done for us. That he would have such mercy that like in the book of Hebrews, it says he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Because of all that he's done for us. Oh, as we think about his holiness, as we think about his goodness and what he's done for us, may God help us. As he's called us, then bless your hearts. Let's try the best we can every day we live to be more like him. Holy. There's a sense of that holiness that talks about dedication. You know, the articles in the temple of old, they were holy articles because they were dedicated to the service of God. Well, we need to dedicate ourselves to the service of God. Do what we can to be a blessing to others. Do what we can to take what God has given us in knowledge, in gifts, in abilities, in love, in mercy, in kindness, and use it. you'll never use it up. As a matter of fact, the more you use the things that God has given us in service to Him, I believe the better it gets. Using those things for His glory and for the blessing of those in the kingdom of God here. So there's much more we could say about that. The second time Peter mentions our calling is in 1 Peter chapter 2. And I guess we could spend a lot of time. Maybe it would be profitable. But I, like I said, if I want to try to touch on these things tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. How in the world can people from different countries and different continents and different backgrounds and different nationalities all be considered one nation? You know, there were several nations of American Indians. What usually we think of as a nation is a people of an area that are have a common birth. Well, don't the people of God have a common birth? We're born again as the family into the family of God. Now, that is when we're born again, that doesn't make us a child of God, because He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
We were His before the foundation of the world, but He makes it known unto us. God could have done all of these marvelous things and never told us about it. And had He not sent His Spirit in our hearts, enabling us to cry, Abba, Father, we wouldn't know anything about. We might hear somebody teach, and we might, with our intellect, gather some facts, but we would never know it in our hearts until God speaks life. That we hear that life-giving voice of the Son of God speaking to our hearts, raising us from a death in sins to life in Christ. And so, He speaks of all these glorious things that we are before Him because of our Lord and Savior. He says a holy nation, a people of common birth, because we're born again, a peculiar people. That word peculiar there is a purchased a special treasure to Him. You know, we use that word in a different way, don't we? Peculiar. Well, that's not what it's talking about. Our common use of that word. This is something that's special to God because we're purchased by the blood of Christ. Peculiar people. Now, we're peculiar to the world, aren't we? I mean, the world cares nothing for the things of God. The world cares nothing for the things of God's people. As a matter of fact, I suspect that that's one of the consequences we're going to see more of in the coming years. If things continue like it is, there's going to be less and less tolerance for Christianity and Christian principles being adhered to in the workplace, in public, whatever. Bless your hearts, that's our opportunity to shine. That's our opportunity to let that light which He has shined into our hearts, that we can shine it back, that we can let our light shine in this world. Bless your hearts. And as a matter of fact, history shows us that in times of persecution, the church has actually grown. Do we want church growth? Do we want the right kind of growth? You know, there's people that will tell you how to get numbers, but that's not growth. But if we would grow and coming in, getting closer to the Lord, understanding how He would have us to live, decisions that we should make, and all those kinds of things, getting closer to God. And bless your hearts, there's growth ahead for God's people. So he's called us. Okay, I got off on a tangent there. A peculiar people for this reason. For this reason, we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why he's called us, that we should show forth his praises. You know, what is it? Is it Psalm 19 or 9? I'm not getting the address right now. But anyway, where it speaks about the heavens declare the glory of God. Is that 9 or 19? Have to look at it. Anyway, it's one of them. the heavens declare the glory of God. And it speaks about there's nowhere that their speech is not heard. In other words, I can be in the presence of someone, I can't understand a single word they might speak in their language, but we can both look into the heavens. And if God has touched our hearts, that we understand that God made all of these things, we can both ascribe glory to his great name for the glory of the heavens above. Because God made it. That's the glory of it. Oh, they're beautiful to behold. But the glory of it is that God made it. It's his handiwork. Bless your hearts, the heavens do. Now, my point in going to that is this. How many days of the week do the heavens declare the glory of God? Is it Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays? And sometimes on Saturday? No. It's all the time. You know, that's a good example for us. And we should be showing forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we should be doing it every day. All of our activities should show forth thanksgiving to God. I know the frustrations of life sometimes mount us. And challenges come our way and all that. But if we can remember the goodness and mercy of God and give him praise and honor and glory all the time, just like those stars in the heavens. Every day, all day long, all year long, ever since they were created, they're giving glory to God. Oh, may we take a lesson from that, that we would be doing that in our lives every day. Now, the first time Peter mentioned, he says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." You know, there's an inner work. First, God has to do, but there's also the inner man that we have to continue to feed on the Word of God so that we can grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, so that we can follow him in a more perfect way. Now, we're never going to get absolute perfection this side of glory. But bless your hearts, we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can grow in our ability to deal with the frustrations of life. We can grow in our ability to be more kind and forgiving of others. We can grow in these things. And hopefully, the more we grow in our understanding of the Word of God, the more perfectly we can show forth those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all nine of those things. And then in 2 Peter, when Peter talks about adding to your faith, it's much the same list. It's some of the same thoughts that are given to us. But all of this revolves around the love of God. Because if we love God, if we love one another, we fulfill the law, right? Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments that way. Loving God, loving one another. You know, on that first table, there was the four commandments that dealt with loving God. Then the next six on the other table that represented dealings with one another. And on these two commandments hang all the law of the prophets. The whole idea is that God so loved us. Bless your hearts, in 1 John chapter 4, John goes on to say, if God so loved us, then we also ought to love one another. If we were doing more of that, bless your hearts, some people might not appreciate it, but we're letting that light shine. We're doing what God would have us to do, what the purpose of what he, the reason it is why he has called us out of darkness. And by the way, when we speak about being called out of darkness, it's not that we were just in darkness. We were darkness. Isn't that what Paul told the Ephesian brethren? Let's turn to that real quick. I believe it's Ephesians 5 and 8, I believe it is. Ephesians 5 and 8. He's spoken about some things that we're not to be partakers with them. And he says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness. Not just in darkness. You didn't have the ability to see the light. You didn't have the ability to perceive the light. You were darkness. But let's see, what did he say in 2 Corinthians 4, I believe it's verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So he says, for ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what he's called us to do, isn't it? To walk as children of light. To let others see your good works. Glorify your Father, which is in heaven. To be the light of the world. That's why he calls us. Out of his love and his mercy, he calls us to show forth the praises of him that's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Not only does he say that in Ephesians chapter 5, but if you go into the next book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, something very similar to what we just read to you out of Ephesians. Paul says, let's begin in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's something that needs to be worked out. And he goes on to say, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do. See, without his working in you, without that life that he gives us, without his spirit in us, we don't have the desire nor the ability to do these things. But it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But aren't you thankful that he's done that for us? And I pray that the Lord would open the hearts and minds of others. We've got some folks in high places in our government that I pray for on a daily basis. I wish, it's my desire. Now, the Lord has a purpose. Now, I'm not saying that all things are caused by him, but I'm just saying, you know, maybe we got to go through some judgment here. I don't know if this is like the children of Israel where the Lord brought the Chaldeans in to carry them away captive, but I keep saying this, he's allowed it to happen. He's allowing it to happen. And so our opportunity is to be more faithful to him. to let our light shine in this dark world. And he goes on to that. He says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. What if you were the only person that was shining this kind of light in the life of somebody else? You know what? Maybe if it's a coworker, or maybe it's a friend or a neighbor or something like that. What if you were the only one that was living the kind of life that he's called us to live, and you were the only one they ever saw that was letting forth that light, letting that light shine forth before others? How much light would they be seeing? Now I'm talking about, you know, obviously the natural man doesn't receive that. But aren't there a lot of God's people who've gone astray? They're his children. Maybe they walked closer to him. Maybe they've gone down the wrong path. Maybe, just maybe, you're the only light they see. Wouldn't it be a blessing to be able to encourage someone and to help someone and to let them see the strength that you have with Christ in you? You know, we're to be strong, but in the power of his might. Let somebody else see you trusting that and living that and applying that and standing on that. We're to be shining as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. I think that's a pretty apt description of our nation today, don't you? And I'm not looking down my long nose and being judgmental. I know I've got my own faults. I've got my own shortcomings. But there's a lot of darkness in our land today. A lot of rejection of God's truth. May God help us as we live amongst that. May God help us to shine as lights. That's what he's called us to do. Shine as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Elder Michael Goins, years ago, I heard him say, we live among in the midst of a bunch of crooks and perverts. Yeah, that pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? But again, with compassion, let's live before those and let our light shine and show forth the love of God, what God has shown to us. May God help us to live it out before them. And getting back to what Peter would say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, you know, if you're living that kind of life, maybe somebody will ask you a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Be ready to give an answer, he says, to everyone that asks it. Some folks are not asking because they're not seeing very much. Let's show forth that light. Let's be kind and gracious and compassionate toward others. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, later on in that chapter, verse 21. Peter's been speaking about enduring grief and, you know, adversity and suffering wrongfully. And he says, let me get verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it plainly? See, if you're in the wrong and you're buffeted for that, well, you've earned it. You know, there's no kudos there if somebody's done wrong and they're buffeted for it and they take it patiently. But he says, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. If we be buffeted when we've tried our best to do what's right, and we take it patiently, that is acceptable to God. Sometimes that's tough to do, isn't it? Especially when you're trying to do something for somebody else and you're trying to do the best you can and they don't appreciate it. They criticize you for it, perhaps, and whatever might come our way. And it's so easy to rail back at them in kind instead of in kindness. But he goes on to say, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called." Well, how could that be, preacher? Because we're to be more like Jesus. That's the answer. We're to be more like Jesus. That's what he did. He went about doing the will of the Father all the time. When he was teaching, when he was criticized, when they were trying to trip him up in his words. Of course, they had no effect on him. But he's our example, and Peter goes on to say that. He says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps." That's why he called us. And that's how we're to respond. Because he also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. There's an interesting little tidbit here. That word example, it's the only time that word's used in the New Testament, to my understanding. And it means something that's perfect. You know, I've tried to be a good example to my children, but I know I failed many times. We try to be a good example to others, and we might do a good job, but, you know, we come short of perfection, don't we? Jesus is perfect. And everything he's ever done is perfect. And so when we speak of his perfect example, no flaws, no shortcomings, exactly. You know, I struggle trying to come up with an illustration to make a point. Maybe sometimes I'll do a good job of illustrating something that the people can relate to. Maybe I fall flat on my face sometimes. But as long as you're reading the scriptures and as long as you're reading what Jesus taught and the examples that he gave and the parables that he gave and all those kinds, as long as you're sticking with what Jesus has taught us, it's perfect every... Don't you know, since he has perfect wisdom and perfect knowledge of all things, that when he would give an example, that he gave us the very best? I can't do that. But if I'm quoting scripture and the examples that he gave, I'm safe. I'm safe with that word because he's perfect. The example he gave us is perfect. Couldn't be any better. He left us that example that we should follow. He's called us. And sometimes it means suffering. Suffering for righteousness. Suffering in well-doing. Suffering in trying our best. Sometimes we suffer for it. Well, don't think you're the Lone Ranger. The Lord has already done that for us. He left us that perfect example. He's called us to be like him in every respect. In every aspect of life, we're to be like him, which means we need to know what he's like. We need to know what his word says. We need to know what this word teaches us of what Jesus is like. so that we can be a better example of what he's called us to do. All right? First Peter chapter 3. In the interest of time, let's notice verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, he's been giving instruction to different ones and how they're to live. And he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Well, let me pause right there. Having compassion one of another. You know, that's a commodity that oftentimes is in short supply today. Compassion. I love how that Luke particularly zeroes in on that compassion. So many things that you read in the book of Luke, there's places where he speaks of how that Jesus had compassion. The other accounts of the gospel don't always bring that out. But that love was at work. And it was being manifested. Shouldn't we be following that example? You know, even the wild Gadarean, when the Lord had cast out legion of demons, and the man was clothed and in his right mind seated. Don't you know that was a spectacle for those who knew who that man was, for them to see that? I mean, they probably was expecting those demons to lash out at any moment. But he was clothed and seated and in his right mind. And he wanted to follow Jesus. And anybody in their right mind wants to follow Jesus. He wanted to follow Jesus. What did Jesus say? Did he say, come on, let's go? I mean, what a blessing that would have been. What did he say? Go home to thy friends. I got a job for you to do. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and has had compassion on thee. There's our example. The Lord's done great things for us. Let's tell somebody about it. I know, not everybody wants to hear it. That's okay. He's called us to be like him. He's called us to let that light shine. He'll take care of the consequences. Now, he also tells us we're to live a quiet and peaceful life, you know. But he also told us to let our light shine. Not crawl under a bushel basket. Not run away. Let our light shine before men that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So, finally be of you, I'm back in 1 Peter 3 and 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren. That's what compassion is, isn't it? Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil. Isn't that a great temptation when somebody treats you a certain way that's not good? This old flesh wants you to just respond in kind. You know, get back at them. Just like they treated you. I hear that sometimes from Christians, and I think, we need some grow here. We're not supposed to respond in kind. We're supposed to respond in kindness. All right? Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise, blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called. If he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, if he's called us to be holy, he's called us to endure suffering for righteousness' sake, and he's called us to respond in kindness. I guess a wonderful example of that is when Jesus was hanging on the cross. The first thing we have recorded out of his mouth, "Father, get them?" No. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wow. Just think for a moment of the love, the compassion, our perfect example. Over and over and over, he taught us these virtues. And we can read about it and meditate upon it and beg the Lord to help us to better apply these things to our life. Therein is how we let our light shine, that others may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So he says, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. You know, the Lord is so good to us. You know that. But when we obey his word and follow his commands and do those things which are pleasing unto him, he blesses us. And I'm satisfied that there's times when we miss blessings. Now, it's not because God didn't do it right or didn't send it right. No. It's on us. We come short. So, we need to respond to adversity like Jesus did. So much more we could say to that. We need to bring this to a close. Now, in chapter 4, 1 Peter, we don't find the word calling, but he's still talking about it. for instance, verse 10, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister to the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, I know that in the next verse he speaks about the speaking gifts. And certainly the ministry, there's a great need for the ministry to be faithful to their calling. But don't we all who have a calling, don't we all have a way to minister to others? By the grace of God, we learn these things and we go forth in this life, and as we have opportunities, we want to do good to all men, especially to the household of faith. Ministering. We all should have a ministry, a way to minister to others. You know, a lot of people talk about a ministry for this, a ministry for that. Just love one another and serve one another. If you have a particular burden of heart to do something, if the Lord's in it, then may the Lord bless you to pursue it. But we all can minister one to another. And so he says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so." Now there are specific gifts, but what a blessing, the gift of grace, the gift of life. You know, "For by grace you say through faith, and that not of yourself." It's the gift of God. When he's given us spiritual life, what a blessing that is. Let's be a blessing to others. Okay? So as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We all have varying gifts. Some of us have multiple gifts. Ways that we can be a blessing and a help to others. Let's be good stewards of what God has given us. If he's given us particular abilities, then let's use them for his glory, for the blessing of others. Being good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I know that's a general application for that, but what a blessing it is that God has given us gifts. He gives gifts to the church. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, he speaks of some gifts to the church. 1 Corinthians 12, he speaks of gifts. There's just lots of things that God gives to us, particular abilities. You know, one of them that I really like, well, of course, all of them we like, but I like to talk about and think about is, you know, the ability to show mercy. I tell you, I've known some folks over my life. I tell you, they were the salt of the earth. Just seemed like nothing ever rattled them. They were always kind. Willing to receive the short end of the stick, so to speak. Trusting God. Letting that light shine, showing mercy. You know, I've known some folks. I've even heard it said of some of the folks in some of these families here in this church. Some that have gone on. I've heard it said of some of them that they never heard that person speak an unkind word about anybody. I'm sorry, but you can't say that about me. I'll try to do better. But God has given gifts and abilities. Let's use whatever the Lord's given us. Let's be a good steward of it. All the while remembering it's a gift. It's something God has given us. It's still his. He's given it to us to use it for a while. But it's from him, and he tells us how we need to use it. Let's use it for his glory and for the blessing of those around about us. And it'll come back to be a blessing to us as well. Chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. He's warned us about our adversary, the devil. He's exhorted us to humble ourselves. And he says, we're not by ourselves. But verse 10, he said, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, but the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's called us unto his eternal glory. You know, we'll come short in lots of ways. We may not use the gifts God has given us to its full potential. There's a lot of ways that we miss the mark. But if we're one of his children, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, redeemed by his precious blood, represented by him when he went to the grave, represented by him when he came forth, we will be in eternal glory with Him. With all our mistakes and our imperfections, God sent His Son to save His people from their sins, and He did it. And they're all going to be raised, fashioned like unto His glorious body, and taken home to be with Him. We will all be with Him in glory. That's our hope, isn't it? That someday, when the trials of this life are over, we'll be with Him, not because we did anything good, but because of what Jesus has done for us. God, 2 Corinthians 5, was it 21? Speaking of what God has done through His Son, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. There was no sin. If I'd kept reading in 1 Peter 2, he's talking about who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. So He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Someday, that'll be ours to enjoy. By His grace, by His power, by His love, by His mercy, someday we'll enjoy the fullness of that. Well, until then, let's live according to this calling. Let's show forth His praises. Let's be kind and merciful to others, following that example that Jesus gave us. Let's be as much like Him as we can, letting our light shine before others, that others may see our good works, but glorify our Father, which is in heaven. He's called us for a reason. He loved us. We're going to be with Him in glory. Let's show forth right now that we love and thank Him for what He's done for us. He's called us. Let's respond to Him in that way which brings glory to His name. May God bless you, is our prayer.
My last expire. Psalm 19, heaven declare, boy.
That's right. That's right.
I don't remember for sure where I heard it, but I heard the Gulf Coast Fellowship meeting.